Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are in 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we're going to read from verse 7 to verse 19. In this particular passage of Scripture, we are looking at the woman who had a familiar spirit. I know this is a passage that interests people greatly because they want to know about whether or not she really called up Samuel to talk with Saul. Well, we'll look in the passage of Scripture and see what the Bible says. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7. Then said Saul unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up him whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, and how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground, and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it unto thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executedst his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Well, after that, of course, Saul fell down and some other things happened. But this passage, this piece of the passage, really contains the parts of this that we want to study today. Now, first of all, he says, that is, Saul says to his servants, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit. All right, now, the question comes up, what is a familiar spirit? Well, a familiar, and why do they use the term familiar? What is that? A familiar spirit, by definition, is a spirit that has a supernatural relationship with people. I mean, if you look up the word familiar in the dictionary, a familiar is a supernatural spirit. Or a familiar spirit is a spirit that has a supernatural relationship with people, or with, in this case, a person. We don't know who else this spirit may have communed with, but he was certainly had a relationship with this woman. All right. Now, when a person, like here in the Old Testament, had a familiar spirit, that spirit could reveal things to him supernaturally that he could not know naturally. And because of that, people would go to the familiar spirit and they'd say things like, How's the horse race going to turn out? Or whatever. And if the spirit would give them a revelation of something that it knew supernaturally, that the other person could not know naturally, then that familiar spirit would be able to reveal something to him that would be advantageous. Now, whether the spirit could reveal to him something that was prophetic is probably very unsure. As a matter of fact, I doubt seriously that a spirit would know. You can be sure that a spirit would not know certain things that only God would know, or something like that. Now, look how this goes. The problem is the familiar spirits were not the Holy Spirit, and so God prohibited Israel from making inquiry for someone who had a familiar spirit. These spirits were unholy. Okay, let's go back here and look in some passages back in Leviticus. In other words, when you see spirits, lying spirits and things like that, trying to give prophecy, to them it's almost like a guessing game. Okay, but if they want to reveal something to you about something else that they could know that's already going on, then they would be able to give you an answer. For instance, what is the telephone number for something? Well, that spirit would be able to know that supernaturally when you couldn't know it naturally if you had no way of knowing, and the spirit could give some sort of a revelation there. But to say, on what day is Jesus Christ returning, the familiar spirit wouldn't be able to give that information, because that's prophetic and that's a piece of information that the spirit wouldn't know. All right. Now, these familiar spirits are not holy like the Holy Spirit, and therefore God said, I don't want you communing with them. Look in some places. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So a familiar spirit is a defiling spirit, not a Holy Spirit. All right, look in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 6. The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Right? Chapter 20, look at verse 27 one more time. A man also, or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. So there's some really tough stuff here concerning these familiar spirits. Okay, now the Holy Spirit, by contrast to a familiar spirit, is holy, and the Holy Spirit would reveal things to people supernaturally when God wanted them to know something, like the interpretation of a dream or a prophecy. Like, for instance, if you go back to Genesis chapter 41, and you look at Joseph, when he is given the opportunity to interpret a dream for Pharaoh, Pharaoh comments in Genesis 41, 38 and 39. Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom is, or in whom the Spirit of God is? So the Spirit of God was in him, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So the Holy Spirit gave Joseph the dream's interpretation, and then the dream was the prophecy, because it said there's going to be 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine, see? That was given to him by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Samuel 23, let's go over to 2 Samuel and look at chapter 23. In this passage, in verse 2, notice what David said. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So there again, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, was able to give David something, and David was then able to speak that thing with his own tongue. His word was in my tongue. So that's the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, whenever I use my spirit to give you an interpretation like he did for Daniel, like he did for Joseph, or a prophecy like he did for David here, or for like he did the prophets in the Old Testament, he said, okay, now that's okay. Because that comes from my spirit, see? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So some guy didn't just kick up his own scheme. But holy men of God, not wicked men, not defiled men, but holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do you see that? All right, so when the Holy Ghost wanted to reveal something that was supernatural, then he would reveal that through a prophet, and they would speak when they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God said, listen, that's, I want you paying attention to that, but I don't want you going around these familiar spirits, because they're going to tell you something that I don't want you to know, or they're going to tell you something that's going to mislead you. Any number of things could go wrong. Now, these spirits were capable of revealing anything that they knew supernaturally. Go all the way up to the New Testament. Look here in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. All right, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in Philippi, and while they're there, watch what happens in verse 16. It came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So she was able to give some sort of supernatural stuff, and people were lining up to pay to have this woman give them like a fortune teller or something like that, by soothsaying. All right, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That spirit was telling the truth. They are servants of the Most High God, and they were showing the way of salvation. But, you know, Paul was really grieved by the voice of that spirit. He eventually cast that spirit out, and that created some real problems around town. Okay? But that spirit was able to reveal something, and it actually was true. Now, obviously, they cannot know the secrets of God. In other words, if there's something that God knows that's not discerned supernaturally by any other means than by the revelation of God, if God doesn't let them know, then there's nobody that's going to know. Period, end of story, doesn't make a difference how much supernatural power this thing has. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But the verse goes on to say, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So someone who knew the Lord wouldn't need a familiar spirit, because anything that God had revealed, he could know. That's why we have the Bible. Seriously. I mean, look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse 10. Now, there are people who read the Bible and try to read this thing naturally, and I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. But look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. That's because He wanted us to know these things. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Do you see how the Holy Spirit is involved in taking this Bible and giving it to you by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So what this natural man tries to do is gain some advantage that he can't get from God by communing with a familiar spirit. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Well, listen, when you've got the mind of Christ and the Word of God, you don't need a familiar spirit. You know what I'm saying? When God wants you to know something, he just tells you right out of the Bible, or oftentimes through the preaching of the Word of God. Listen, anything that God didn't want a person to know, or anything that God doesn't want him to know, he shouldn't inquire of a familiar spirit to find out. Now, I'm going to give you a warning right here before we continue on with the study of this passage. There are a lot of people today who pray and they say, I was praying and the Lord told me, and then they tell you what the Lord said. Or they'll say, I was praying and the Lord said, and then they'll tell you what he said. And may I tell you something? Many times, they are not hearing the voice of God, but rather they are conversant with a familiar spirit. Listen, if God wants to reveal anything to you, He'll reveal it in the Bible. You say, well, how do I know if I'm supposed to take this job or not? You know something? Through prayer, through Bible reading, through preaching, through good counsel, the Lord, as He said in His Word, will guide you, and there will be a peace that passeth all understanding to comfort you and to keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And then you will also notice God working in the circumstances. Okay, and all of a sudden the pieces fall into place. You say, okay, well, I'm heading in the right direction. I see how these things are. But this idea that you were praying and the Lord said, I had somebody call the other day and the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me to do that, the Lord told me to do this, the Lord told me to do that. I said, great. I said, what you do is I want you to get your Bible and turn with me to the book of James. And we're waiting, and finally I can't find that book. Oh, wait a minute. Don't think that the Lord's going to speaking to you in prayer. Okay, when you can't find, do you understand? His already revealed words in the Bible, because you're spending more time listening to the voice that's speaking in you than to the words that are written in that book. Oh, boy. Seriously, you say, are there really Christians that are communing with familiar spirits? There's no doubt about it. Okay, back to the passage. This woman could discern things supernaturally by this familiar spirit, and you know that because she was able to discover who Saul was, even though he was disguised and had come to see her at night. Notice, in verse 8, Saul disguised himself, put on other raiment. He went, two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. So he doesn't have this big entourage, you know, he doesn't have a secret service with him, all that kind of stuff. He's dressed up like another man, and he's coming at night, so there's no way she can recognize his face. Now, he swears to her that nothing's going to happen to her. He says, bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Now, you know something? That spirit revealed to her who Saul was. Let me give you a comparison here. And the comparison I'm going to give you actually doesn't involve a familiar spirit, but it involves the Holy Spirit. But notice how in another situation, somebody came to inquire of the prophet and disguised themselves, or herself in this case, and the prophet was told by the Spirit of God who this person was so that the disguise did no good. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 2. Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the king over the 10 northern tribes of Israel at this time. Get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. Ahijah had seen Jeroboam earlier before, when Solomon was still alive, and Jeroboam was wearing a brand new garment. And Ahijah took it off of him, tore it in 12 pieces, and gave Jeroboam 10, said, you're going to be the king over 10 tribes. All right, verse 3, take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him. He shall tell thee what shall become of the child. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. So he's blind or nearly blind. Watch, verse 5, 1 Kings 14, 5. The Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And that's because of the disguise. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, boy, I'm telling you. So here's Saul trying to disguise himself, and that familiar spirit was able to discern supernaturally for that woman who the true identity of the man that had come to see her, just like the Holy Spirit did for Ahijah. You say, I always thought these seance spirits and things like that were just ooey-ooeys and things like that. No, there's a reality there. Now, this woman did not only have a familiar spirit, but she was also a necromancer. And you say, what in the world is that? Well, a necromancer is somebody that can call on the dead. Or in this case, bring up the dead. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, you have all kinds of people that are messing around with the occult. Deuteronomy 18, verses 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, somebody who talks with the dead. Okay, now, she had that ability. And in this case, she is asked to bring up Samuel. Now, the question has been asked of me several times. Did she really bring up Samuel? And the answer is, yes, she did. He really came up. Now you say, well, why in the world, first of all, did he come up? From whence did he come? Well, notice, when the woman was afraid, Saul said in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 28, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. Now, so what is all that? Well, Samuel, after he died, went, okay, his body's in the grave, but this thing that came up here, this isn't his body. This is his soul. He went to Abraham's bosom. You say, what is that? Well, in the heart of the earth, there are two compartments. One is hell, and the other one's Abraham's bosom. They're separated by a space, by a great gulf, the Bible says. And notice, the souls of the men in there are alive. Luke 16, verse 19. And then continuing, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." That is a place. That's the name of a place, a compartment in the earth where the souls of the saved went before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels into Abraham's bosom. "The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." He identified them immediately, supernaturally. Plus he recognized Lazarus by sight. "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So the rich man is able to talk to Abraham and see Lazarus. "Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." In other words, we can't go there, and you can't come here. Now, when she was asked to bring up Samuel, he really came up. He'd been in Abraham's bosom, which is in the heart of the earth. And that's why she said he ascended out of the earth, because that's where he was. And notice, he still looked like he did. She said he's an old man with a mantle. So his appearance hadn't changed since his death, just as the rich man was able to recognize Lazarus visibly. So this wasn't an apparition. It is really Samuel. You say, how do you know that? Because once again, if you'll compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll notice if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15 that the Bible talks about the death of Samuel. Watch what it says. 1 Samuel 15:35, "Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death." Well, you know what? Here's Samuel coming up to reveal some truth to Saul, and this is the day of Saul's death. "Samuel went up Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Isn't that something? Really. Listen. Samuel was asked several questions, and he spoke the truth concerning every detail that he gave to Saul, including the prophecy of Saul's death and Israel's defeat. Look what he says. He says, "Why have thou disquieted me?" And Saul tells him, because the Lord's not answering me. He's departed from me. And so Samuel runs down the list. "The Lord hath done to him," speaking of David, "as he hath spake by me. For the Lord hath writ the kingdom out of thine hand, yes. Given it to thy neighbor, even to David, yes. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, yes. Nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Not obeying the voice of the Lord was at Gilgal. Not executing the fierce wrath at Amalek was when he kept King Agag alive. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. That happens. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. That happens. They die. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel in the hand of the Philistines. That happens. That's Samuel. And every detail is exactly right. Now, some people very quickly have asked, well, then did Saul end up saved or lost because Samuel said, thou and thy sons shall be with me? Well, you can't answer the question based on what Samuel said, because Saul could have ended up in Abraham's bosom, or he could have ended up in hell, and in both places he would have been right there with Samuel, since each were visible to the other in the heart of the earth. According to 2 Samuel 7:15, God took his mercy away from Saul, and according to Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, Saul died as a result of also visiting that woman that had the familiar spirit, and the Lord said he would cut off those that commune with familiar spirits. So he could very easily have died a lost man. Well, there you go. There is your story of the woman with a familiar spirit, and I hope that the information you've heard here has been very, very helpful and enlightening to you in understanding the doctrine of the Word of God. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages, or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible. Hallelujah.